apparently, on MSNBC.
And we were polite to hold it this long.
Totally.
We've embargoed.
President Bush and Senator John McCain have apparently reached an agreement on legislation covering tribunals for enemy combatant suspects, NBC News incorrectly reported Thursday.
We'll only pull out their toenails and give them their fingers.
Yeah. Use one dog at a time on them. I won't say who. Well, no, I won't say who. I was just... Never mind. I was talking to Chris Sneathan. I got to get him on the show one of these days. He's great. He's never actually expressed any interest in coming on. I just sort of continue to say that he's going to come on. So I'll just say it and make him do it one of these days. But who writes it? He's had some pretty interesting observations about that whole thing about the. Because, you know, the whole problem with this, and nobody, for people who don't understand why it's such a big deal that we're putting guys in a room and beating them with a hose. I mean, if you
for freedom,
yeah. Well, yeah, really. I mean, look, you have to break eggs to make freedom.
Freedom isn't free.
If it costs $1.05. If you're not going to oppose that sort of on the face of it, probably you should oppose it because you don't want them taking, like, your uncle or whoever's in the Marines when they capture him and putting him in a room and, like, taking a, you know, a jumper cable
to his
junk.
They're being re-educated.
Yes. Yes, they are. The end of a hickory stick. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's now give you what you really been waiting for or come here for. Thank you.
The Rick Emerson Noon.
We need a new out cue.
From AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, we continue with what we started yesterday, which would be a Bush Watch, I guess.
Okay, excellent. Here's your Bush Watch for whatever the hell day this is. It is a Thursday right here on the Rick Emerson.
He's the president in residence, kind of in charge. He's got the whole country saying, that's my Bush. Life is hard, that's the price of fame. When you're president, everyone knows your name. Hey, what's that thing? It's my Bush. I can't believe he's actually in the White House.
That's on my own.
The president said last night to Wolf Blitzer that absolutely he would send troops into Pakistan to catch Osama bin Laden. Absolutely, he said.
He said that we would?
Yeah, we would.
See, here's the thing.
It's fine that we're invading other countries. It protects us here at home.
As long as cheeseburgers remain affordable, Tim, that's all I care.
Good guys win, bad guys lose.
As long as there are Cheetos in the machine in the.
As long as we still have the demolition derby on weekends and rodeo.
Well, let me do this. I hate to interrupt, but before we play these sound bites, I promise we get to these calls. Let me take these calls because they're calling about Hugo Chavez largely. We'll do that, and then I will sigh heavily. And we'll talk about George W. Bush. This is really another thing, and when I say this is what they count on, I'm not... I know that so much of this stuff, people say, there's your lefty damn pinko conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy so much as it is just a recognition of the fact that people in power tend to be corrupt and tend to do whatever they can to hold on to that power. So that's kind of what it is.
Pakistan wouldn't be that difficult to... go in and help.
Really, if you had one large reptile and maybe a big winged thing, you could do it. The thing is, they just sort of bank on you getting tired of the whole thing. That's what it is. It really is a lot of work to try to stay angry and informed about stuff all the time. So
no, this is like having an extra beer for those who drink. They can't have just one.
If you're Scotty J, for example. Yes. This is like having several extra vodkas or what was he drinking? What Scotty's drink?
Whiskey.
This is like having several whiskeys while sitting alone, sadly, slumped over a table by yourself at Dante's after all your friends have left, bathed in a pool of red light. Let's see. We'll move through these. Hello, Dave. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. And to answer your question about that, yeah, I gave up sports for politics a few years ago, and I'm just getting my ass kicked.
Well, that's you gave up sports for politics, but the thing is, you don't even really need to change anything. It's all just kind of the same mindset.
Indeed. Yeah. Hey, just to kind of echo you, there's a few people right now that, you know, like you say, it's just that jaw-dropping, wow, somebody finally said it and said it out loud and said it, you know, for one Colbert.
Yeah, well, and how sad is that, that a guy who basically is a walking onion paper is the guy who seems to be saying what everybody thinks?
Well, and when he did it in the correspondence dinner in front of Bush, and you saw it went from uncomfortable to, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember that. I've seen, have we all seen Stephen Colbert at the correspondence dinner?
Yes.
Man, that was fantastic. And it's like you could hear the sound of someone being fired. Like, if you listened, you could hear Bush firing whoever's scheduled. It's like when Imus did it for Clinton a couple years ago. That was horrifying, too. Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. Colbert and Jon Stewart in his own way. I mean, those is the again, even whether you agree or not, it's the bracing sound of someone kind of saying what no one else says. Yeah.
Well, and that's on a comedic front, but if you switch it one just to, like, to an actual news thing, Oberman, I've been TiVoing for, I don't know, 6 months.
Yeah, keep
and then
going.
In the last 2 months, he's done on the 9/11 one, and then just recently, this last Monday, scathing. I mean, and quite honestly, things that you need to share with other people.
No, we were just talking about that during the break, actually, the Keith Olbermann, who, and Tim and I were talking about how I remember from SportsCenter, and you remember from KTLA.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to knock the guy. You can tell, and I don't mean it's contrived, but you can tell that he, for whatever reason, consciously stopped and sort of said, like, what am I doing, and reinvented himself and is sort of doing his program in a new way now. And I'm not going to say what everybody else is saying, which is that, well, he's the Edward R. Murrow of our whatever. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's not. Maybe he's that. Whatever. But he is. Keith Olbermann, though, is an amazing writer. And he has done. And the only reason I haven't ever played them here is because they're like 6 minutes long. And it's just like, I don't want to sit and play just 6 minutes of some guy making a long speech. Clearly, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm the one who drones. But I'll bring some of it in. Stephanie Miller has been playing a lot of his stuff in the morning, too. But it's really... Here's the other thing. And I don't mean to sound all paranoid about it. But when you see a guy like Keith Olbermann, who I've always liked, but who has really lately just started taking a... just taking a cudgel to Bush with his speeches, you realize... And this is just horrifying. You realize how... whether we say it or not, or whether you realize it or not, how afraid we have all become of the Bush administration. And people, call me the liberal whack job all you want. I don't care.
You're a liberal whack job.
No, thank you. It's true, man. I'm not saying that they're the only administration that is evil or corrupt or malignant or whatever. Clearly, everybody who gets that job is evil to some degree or other. We all know that. But you know what? They're the ones in power now, so they're the ones I'm talking about. So they can take it, and in 2008, if they vote on somebody else, it'll be their turn to get the hatchet. So for now, it's them. That you realize how terrified we all are of the Bush administration. Because when I see those Keith Olbermann speeches where he's... like, really, just looking right into the camera, and many of them are, by the way, directed at George W. Bush personally, where he this one the other day called May the Country Forgive You, and it was about 9/11 and how, Bush has managed to do everything. He's done the Costanza of taking exactly what you should do and then doing exactly the opposite, thinking that somehow it'll work out, and he did the whole speech directed right at George W. Bush, and he ended it, the ending statement was like something like, May God and the Country Forgive You, and you watch it, and you're like, oh, and you start to get like you're pulling down your blinds, and you're like, oh, God, somebody's going to kill Olbermann on the way to his car. And you shouldn't be thinking that. What the hell seriously, what in the F is wrong with this country that when we're watching Keith Olbermann criticizing the president, I begin to fear for him?
Think it's funny now?
I mean, not so funny now, are you, funny man? Mr. Creedy? All right, so there you go. Yeah, Olbermann, though, I'm with you, Dave.
All right, thanks, Rick.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. England prevails. Let's see, who is this? Hello, sir.
Hi.
Hugo Chavez. Yes.
Yeah. He was a paratrooper for the Venezuelan army, got elected as president, I think, like 98 or 99. And then there was a coup attempt that he publicly blames the American administration for in 2002. The reason why he points at them is because he came in and took over his country's national, oil company, and he kicked out a lot of the oil interests in the United States. So he's been going around to anybody who could be an enemy of the United States and saying this stuff for a long time, Sudan, Iran, and he even said he was going to go to North Korea, but
no, there's,
changed
he's,
his mind on that.
He clearly is, I mean, again, I'm not passing moral judgment, he clearly fancies himself or is planning to become some sort of a player.
He wants Venezuela to have the rotating Security Council seat in the UN, which is going to be elected on pretty soon. So he wants that voice, and he's been currying favor with Ahmadinejad in Iran.
Well, I got to tell you, look, here's the thing. Is any country with sufficient oil reserves, is pretty much immune from what any other country wants them to do unless we invade them. That's the thing, man. You got enough oil in this world, you can kind of write your own ticket.
Here's the thing. Venezuela has a lot of oil, but it's all the special heavy kind of crude that has to be go through a long refining process. And the United States has virtually all of those facilities in the Western Hemisphere. So Chavez doesn't want to sell to us, but he kind of has to. And the Venezuelan oil comes into this country as... go. So I was just trying to wrap
it up. All going to end badly.
Yeah.
All going to end so badly.
On my IQ test, by the way, I got a 92. So
fantastic.
Back to Tim Riley.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. We'll get a couple more here in a few. Here's Tim Riley.
So what's Hugo Chavez doing today? He's visiting Harlem. He says, quote, he prays to God that the American voters choose a better president.
The people from the United States will choose a president, would like a president with whom we can talk, like equals, and not this gentleman that you have now, walks like this cowboy, John Wayne.
He likes a what?
He talks cowboy. Like a cowboy, John Wayne.
Yeah. Well, here's... All right, never mind. I'll wait. I'll save my comments till the end.
Chavez again threw insults at American history and the president.
I don't want to have any demon present. Sometimes the devil takes the shape of a person. And there are people who are behaving like hell. Like the devil.
Sometimes the devil takes the shape. What were they called? El Diablo.
Mm.
Yeah.
So things get a little worse here.
Okay.
He blames Europe for killing off Americans.
Europe came to America. And devastated in a genocide.
He says that Europe came to America and massacred the land.
500 years later, or after that massacre, we are here. You are the survivors of the massacre. You, the aborigines of America.
Well, no one's perfect.
Let's see. So, in retaliation to your congressman, Charlie Rangel said...
Oh, God, that guy's nutty.
Well, man, that's why we
Charles
have him.
Charles Rangel, yeah, no, he's amazing.
I don't bring sensible people on this show, okay?
No, of course not.
Charles Rangel says all Americans should be offended by comments by Mr. Chavez.
But you don't come into my country, you don't come into my congressional district, and you don't condemn my president.
Jack Klugman. All right. Nanny Bonaduce, Dan Spitzmark, blah, blah, blah.
Meanwhile, now we go on to bank number two. Bill Clinton was in New York to speak about a global initiative program on the Today Show. He says Chavez is wrong to insult the president.
Hugo Chavez said something that was wrong yesterday, unbecoming a head of state, and mm-hmm. all that name-calling, you know, it's undignified and not helpful and it's not true.
Here's my thing about this, and I know that we're not through this.
It's not true that he's the devil.
Well, how could you prove that, really? How would you know?
That's funny that he's actually defending someone calling someone the devil.
Well, you know, the thing about it is, we don't ever really get a lot of hate mail. Not anymore. I used to get it's kind of sad actually. When we first started, we used to get lots and lots of hate mail. I mean, back in like
all love mail.
Siri gets all it is. It's all just praises and hosannas. No, I think it's that we got a lot of hate mail and a lot of. I don't want to go into it. Even give it the time to talk about it here. Anyway, so the hate mail has sort of declined in recent years, I think, because eventually...
Why not send some today?
I think because people eventually figured out that we just didn't care. And we used to do these compilations. These are the days I miss. We used to be able to do compilations on the show of hate mail. And I would take all the best hate mail from the week, and then I would put it together, and I would send it out as a newsletter. And it would just be some of the best and bright. All of it taking aim. This is the funny thing about it. Not all. About half the hate mail used to take aim at my... People, for some reason, they labored under the opinion... Again, doesn't really matter. I don't care what you think. But about half the hate mail used to start with, like, Dear Jew Broadcaster. Which is, you know, not only stupid, but also incorrect. So, you know, so it always... It's the best and the brightest who sit down to hate mail. But I used to put it all together, and we'd send it out as a newsletter every couple of weeks, all my best hate mail. And so people just sort of realized that I just didn't care, and so they quit sending it. But I did get some over the last couple of days. And here's the thing. The thing about all this Hugo Chavez stuff, and again, I'm clearly in Venezuela, and I don't pretend to be an expert in Venezuela, but just the stuff I know about it, and I was talking to Sneathan about it last night. It clearly is not a perfect country. He's not a perfect politician. He seems to be corrupt on some level. And any guy whose entire country is this sort of inverted pyramid that exists because of oil money clearly is not to be trusted all of that much. But here's the thing about, have you noticed this, that no one has pointed out anything he said yesterday that they factually disagreed with or that they thought was wrong? The best that they can sort of do, and this is Republicans and even some people in our audience, the best that they could do was to say, like, well, I don't like him saying it here in America. He should say that at home in his own country. That's sort of the best they could do, was to pull out like a Miss Manners book on him. That no one, you didn't really hear anybody sort of disputing the substance or the content of what he said, which I find very telling.
Bill Clinton says the president of Venezuela was wrong.
What we should think about is not him, but the masses of people all over the world who find it always easy to resent the wealthiest and most powerful country in the world. So we have to give people a sense that we're pulling for them.
Let's not forget the other bad guy out there, the president of Iran. He's in New York, too, like everybody else. And says some members of the UN Security Council are controlling world politics.
They are a direct party to many conflicts and have created them. Nonetheless, they sit in judgment of world affairs at the Security Council when they are party to the conflict themselves. We think and feel that this system must change.
But he compliments Americans as being good people.
People in the United States, like all people around the world, are highly respected by us. They are good, willing people who seek justice.
Yes, that's exactly what I think. I imagine the president of Iran loves us. Loves it, wants to invite us all to dinner.
Meanwhile, torture may be worse now in Iraq than under Saddam, says the torture expert at the UN. Manfred Novak said the situation in Iraq is out of control, with abuses being committed by security forces, militia groups, anti-U.S. insurgents.
And the other thing about this Hugo Chavez thing, and there is a connection here in my just attitudinally between the Iranian president and Hugo Chavez. And then what is that thing that it happened over the weekend? So we weren't really here to talk about it, but is it, what's his name? Pope the Benedict? Is that his name?
I think
the
so.
New
yes.
Pope.
Yes.
But he said that crap. He was talking to me, and I was. He's running his pope mouth about the money. He said Muslims had never brought nothing but evil and horror to the world, or some retarded observation about Islam, because Catholics have always been at the forefront of responsible behavior, peaceful resolution of conflicts. And anyway, and so he made this comment about, like, Islam is blah 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 blah, killing and looting, whatever, some comment about Islam. And then the Muslim world just went crazy about it and started screeching and demanding and rioting and whatever it is that he retracted. And here's the thing. I was thinking about this weekend, and I don't even know who from CNN we would get on to sort of talk about this. But, Tim, I mean, even I'm old enough to remember a time. There was a time when the Pope would just come out and the Pope would say, like, blah, 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 and he would talk about how the other religions were, inferior and terrible or whatever. And when the Pope, there was a time when the Pope didn't have to apologize for anything. There was a time when the Pope said it, and if you didn't like it, you could lump it. And that was it, man. The Pope said it, and you took it or leave it. That's all it is. The Pope never apologized. Popes didn't say they were sorry. Popes didn't equivocate. Popes didn't prevaricate. Popes didn't have to, didn't try to soothe anybody's hurt feelings. And it is very telling now that there is this sense of sort of like a blood in the water sort of a thing. And by which I mean, and I don't know whether I'm alone here, but maybe other people feel this. We're kind of getting into a little bit of Art Bell territory here. But I do feel like there is this sense out there.
A quickening?
I hate to see it because it makes it sound crazy. It makes me sound like I'm not crazy. If you take all of these things, like the fact that the Pope, who again, even when they said he wasn't infallible, again, the Pope used to just say whatever he wanted, and no one ever asked a Pope to apologize, and if they did, he just told them to pound it. You've got the president of Iran, who's acting in a very, bellicose and belligerent, like in a way that exceeds anything we've seen in a long time. We've got the president of Venezuela, who is touring America, calling our president the devil on television, and all the Americans are kind of going, yeah. There's a weird sense that, like, things are, the momentum, I think, is beginning to We are losing our momentum here in the country. I believe that things are starting to turn against us in a really large way. And I'm not saying that everybody's loved us forever. I'm not saying America's been the most popular kid on the block always. But, I mean, I get this sense that large sections of the world are really beginning to shift sides. And that there, if there is some line in the sand, and it's like we're on one side and everybody else on the other side, I get the feeling that there's a lot of people who are edging towards that line right now. And that the number of people on our side of that line is beginning to diminish.
Maybe you ought to move to Guam with RFL.
You know.
You have that Beijing crank-up radio already under your bed?
Broadcast out of a tool shed. I saw it. I think I told you I was listening this weekend. God love Art Bell. Guy's so crazy. I was listening to his show. I mean, he makes me sound so rational. I think I mentioned this yesterday. He was talking about a guy who had to kiss the buttocks of a goat as part of a Masonic ritual. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I had to check my watch. Like, what year is this? Same Art Bell. Same, doing the show wearing that huge funky headset. Like he's John Madden on the sidelines screaming. You know, it's right. And using the same music, using Dancing Queen and Dreamweaver or whatever the hell that song is. The same three music bumps for the last 40 years.
Oh, Sky High by Jigsaw. That's one of my favorites.
Exactly. Same, you know. Let me talk about the Sea Crane radio. This is the best radio. I'm just, you know, a guy's like an old pair of paranoid slippers.
I can listen to Omaha from the Philippines.
Let's see. Let's talk to our good friend, Brad the Car Guy. What's up, brother, man?
It'll be pretty fascinating 10 years from now or whenever history is rewritten that if Chavez is the tipping point,
yeah,
you know, the tipping point where we look back and say, this is when the world's turning against.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, am I alone in that feeling that right now there's a lot of momentum with the America needs to be, something needs to be done with America faction in this world?
Well, when you go to Europe or something, you say, no, I'm Canadian.
Yeah, I mean, and that, and again, I mean, even, look, even under a president who in retrospect was not so swell for the country, like Reagan, there was this sense. I mean, if somebody during the Reagan era had come, if some guy from another country, some president had come here, Reagan is the devil, and he ought to be, like, we would have taken that guy, and we would have run him out on a rail, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And so, but the fact that the
Reagan
guy comes...
Reagan looked good, walk up the podium with that red carpeting?
Yeah.
Look at the president.
I would have been offended. But then he comes in, George Bush is the devil, and we all kind of go, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, there's something really deeply wrong with this country.
So now, Dad, I get this right, that he prayed to God that we were elected a better president. Isn't that a bit like praying to God that we'll hit the water when we fall out of a boat?
Yes, seriously. There is. Well, Sarah and I have talked about that. We were talking about during the end of Rockstar. We're sort of like, you know, like a someone else for Rockstar instead of Delana. And that someone else for president. I saw that sticker at Dante's yesterday that just has that date. It's like 1-20-09, you know, which is that's the day that Bush is gone. So,
well, that was part of my other question. Is part of the torture, you know, moratorium or something, does that mean we don't have to watch Delana perform anymore?
No, she'll be here February 16th. Get your tickets now.
For $75 or something like that.
No, is that how much they are? Is that the cheapest ones,
like,
or $75?
Yeah.
You can go see Al Gore three times for that.
Great. All right. Hey, quickly on network, if you don't mind the tangent, you mind tangents on the show. You know, I actually rewatched it about a month ago, and I saw it at college when it first came out.
Yep.
And it was fantastic then, but in retrospect, you watch it now, and, you know, network news and everything else has got so bad that it was just so poignant.
Oh, yeah, no, Patty Trafsky.
30 years later.
No, Patty Trafsky saw the future. Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
Reality TV was basically what they were showing, you know, there. Oh, it's frightening.
Yeah, no, that guy had a crystal ball. There is absolutely no doubt about that. Yeah, there's no dispute. And they just put out a brand new double disc DVD remastered. The sound is redone. It's a brand new digital transfer. It's beautiful. I bought it the day it came out. Because that movie was so grainy and so washed out on VHS and on DVD, the DVD that's been out till now. It's a beautiful DVD, and the movie just looks like it just came out yesterday. So
now, I do have a quick question. Sorry, but every DVD, every CD you have, you own every one of those. Is your home kind of like John Cusack in High Fidelity? Is it
totally
just stacks of CDs?
No, I've actually had to move large sections of it down into the basement now, and I've got my vinyl, and of course, it's all got to be alphabetical and then chronological within alphabetical order, too. So, yeah, no, it's, I have, and then, of course, now that I've got the burgeoning Xbox collection, too, yeah, it's, there's, you know, it's and of course, but the rest of my house, I'm I'm only allowed a small section of the upstairs where I can keep my things. The rest of it all has to go in my room, which is like the one little tiny nook of the house where I'm allowed to demonstrate my own personality.
Yeah.
All right.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Brad. All right, we got a break, ladies and gentlemen. It's 503-733-2970. Come back, John, Dave, and more from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's 503-733-2970. Later on, Gary Baumgarten, Jim Roop. And more of a, we'll do a little more of a recap of Dante's life. I have extensive notes about the debauchery of Dante's last night. Don't go anywhere. It's AM 970, Solid State Radio. You stay right there. Daddy for you. Yeah.
Did you see the picture on my website?
No.
Is one of you Scotty? And Scotty J. Oh, well, there isn't any Photoshop or anything here. All there is that horrible, like, 1988 Microsoft Paint.
Let me look here. Is it SarahXDillon.com?
SarahXDillon.com.
No, this is, Oh, do I have to refresh? All I see is Justin Timberlake looking all huge again. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, thank you. So you chose to...
Did you read what I wrote?
Yes. You opted not to put the huge cartoon penis. Thank you. Seriously, what? Okay, I look awkward. Scotty... He looks
enraged.
His mouth is huge. What the hell, man? What were we even doing there?
So I was talking to him. He's like, how can you not be hungover, Sarah? I'm like, well, what did you drink? He's like, oh, I had 4 whiskey cokes and 4 beers. He had 8 drinks. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, because I had 3, Scotty.
Yeah, and that was in a not huge period of time.
Yeah.
Okay, but I want to know what he's doing in this photograph. I mean, I just sort of look like I'm kind of yawning, or maybe I've just got my, I'm saying like, well, or hello, or... Scotty looks like one of those guys that's on like a don't do steroids ad. Where it's like, you know, remember in the late 80s and early 90s, they used to talk about a thing called roid rage, which is where these guys would do steroids and then they would have these huge insane rages, like temper tantrum. They would like punch people, and it would be like a, you know, hi John, what? You know, and that's totally what he looks like here. And it really is the huge underlines underneath that, underneath these, Scotty, I'm not gay.
Okay, yeah. I could make it all pretty and Photoshop-y at home, but...
And his eyes look like they're 2 different colors. And he looks like he's probably sweating a lot. That's fantastic.
He does look sweaty. Why is he wearing his jacket inside?
I don't know. All right, there you go.
We should really get him on the air today. He is in poor form.
Yeah, we'll do that here after we do. Let's do some more news. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
Well, Carol.
There we go.
A little loud there? Okay. Well, we're all wondering what Pat Boone is up to these days.
Of course.
And he's added something new to his variety of old hits on his latest release, Pat Boone R&B Classic.
I have to ask a question. Did you realize just now that your microphone wasn't turned on?
No.
Okay. Let's move on.
Is it on now?
Yes. Yeah. Is it on where you are?
Yes. Well... The 72-year-old performer teams up with Casey and the Sunshine Band for a remake of Get Down Tonight, joins Cool and the Gang in the cover of Celebration. And
it's all
of
Scotty's favorite things at once. Who is it? Cool and the Gang and Casey.
James Brown, the Four Tops, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Smokey Robinson, Sam Moore, Ray Parker Jr.
Oh, he's tried. Okay, this is what Pat Boone doing. Pat Boone had that album where he did metal songs a few years ago.
Heaven.
Yeah, that all the kids loved. And then, so now he's trying to redo it with funk. All right. That's
so he noticed he took the opposite approach with this project.
He had all the artists come in and do his songs his way, pretty much. I think Barbara Streisand, Bono, you know, convinced him they'd have to do new arrangements. But both these albums were huge, and they were artists doing his songs his way. So we reversed it, and we're doing these great artist songs their way.
I don't understand, but Barbara Streisand and Bono?
Apparently so. James Brown, the Four Tops, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
What kind of record is this? All right, well, there you go. Hey, have you noticed that Cool and the Gang thing we play, that promo, that Let's click some, you know, one of the ones we play. That one with Cool Again, you notice it doesn't make any sense. It's just, if you did not know this radio station, and you were just listening, like, what's this new program they're advertising? The ones with Kool and the Gang don't make any sense at all.
I heard one today when Tim didn't have his headphones, and we were playing all those sound bites, but there wasn't any buildup, so you didn't know what was going on, so it sounded like...
It just sounds like we don't know what the hell we're doing.
Tim talking and us playing, like, Arizona.
So, yeah, and then there's that one where I think what it was is that I was... The Cool from Kool and the Gang was coming on. I don't know anything about Kool and the Gang, so I was trying to get a listener to pretend to be me to interview him, and so we were having dry runs with the listeners. We were having the listeners sort of role play where I was Cool from Kool and the Gang and they were me, and so it would like me be on the phone with the listener and the listener would be going, you know, hello, Cool and the Gang, you know, then I would pretend to be Cool. But the thing is, like, if you just listen to the promo, it doesn't make any sense at all. It just makes this show sound like it's being run by just a bunch of gibbering freaks. Sarah, I'd like you to look at Scotty J's picture while I read this description.
Okay.
Just the where he's doing that face. All right. Our good friend Todd the Corpse, come on, has weighed in with this. About Scotty J, this is perfect. He summed it up in one sentence. Rick, Scotty looks like an enraged howler monkey. So true. Also, I like that the specter of baldness is hovering over your shoulder. It's true, there's the bald guy lurking in the background behind me like some sort of a ghost.
Things to come.
Yeah, Sarah's, I am the ghost of, you know, baldness future.
That's the dumbest
thing. I didn't know where else to go. Isn't that how you say it? The ghost of Christmas?
I am the ghost of baldness future.
Let's flip some. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, the Cocker, California man is charged with drunk driving after he was run over by his own car.
What, California?
Concord, California.
Oh, okay.
This is an unprovoked road rage incident. Officer Yachts says a 50-year-old Richard Brooks was tailgating and waving a pool cue at five motorists riding together when two of the riders pulled over near the railroad exit to try to get away from Brooks. He pulled over in front of them and got out of his car.
With a pool cue.
Swinging the pool cue. Well, unfortunately, instead of putting his car into park, he put it in reverse. The car rolled over him and continued across all lanes. Brooks only suffered minor injuries. He told the officers he was trying to teach these guys a lesson because they wore biker leather garb and skulls on their helmets and thought they were so tough.
You're not so tough. Have you ever had a guy try to beat you up for cutting him off in traffic? You ever had a physical?
No.
Years ago, I was me and a girlfriend were driving along in the car, and I don't know this, man. I always end up with these women who are really, really angry, aggressive drivers. Always. And I'm really not. In the sense that, like, I will get angry inside the car. Like, I'll pound the dashboard. I'll do the, what's his name? Naeem and Ajed. You know, the son of bitch! You know, just, like, pounding the... But I won't do anything. Like, I won't honk, flip off. I won't do anything. Laura does all of that. I had to stop her the other day from rolling down the window and screaming, like, F off. Like, a big guy. And it's always some big guy who's going to get out of the truck, walk around to my side, and punch me in the face.
I don't get road rage in the car, but when I'm on my bike, and if I know that I have, you know, if I'm in a bike lane or if someone... I've had people... honking at
me. Get out of the road!
Yeah, when I'm all the way off to the right side. Like, I've hit cars. I've, like, taken my hand and, like, done that.
Yeah.
I've done that.
I had a guy spit on my car one time. That was a bad snort. I'm sorry. Not a bicycle, but, like, another guy. Like, I had done something. He thought that I had merged incorrectly or something. And he rolled down the window. He was the passenger side. He rolled in the window and he said, and, like, spat on my car window. But this girl, a long time ago, this girl, she was a totally, like, a menace. You cut this guy off in traffic, and then he, like, followed us. He followed us forever. It was, like, 4 miles, and we're totally trying to lose him. And we ended up going to, like, a bank drive-thru, and as we're going through, and, you know, you can't back up there, and as we're going through the bank drive-thru, he, like, pulls around the other way and, like, pulls in facing us, so we're, like, wedged in. And he gets out of the car and is slowly walking towards the car, clearly coming to beat me up. And it was only the intervention of the bank woman that actually stopped it. I'll get these emails right away. Here's Tim Riley.
An Idaho woman was arrested for investigation of forging a check to bail her boyfriend out of the Thurston County Jail in Olympia.
Good times.
18-year-old Ashley Christine Moss of Middleton, Ohio, reportedly passed a check for $60,000 to a bail bondsman.
For $60,000?
Mm-hmm.
As though anybody in Idaho... As though the gross domestic product of Idaho is $60,000.
Well, the tip-off is the pre-printed name on the check was crossed out and another name written over it.
Was the check to 123 Anytown Street, USA?
Yeah. She's admitted to forging checks in other states, but the first time she did it, Washington.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Well, there are many ways to get ahead in life. Eating live cockroaches usually isn't one of them. Six Flags Great America in Gurnee, Illinois, is daring visitors to eat live roaches and is rewarding them by letting them go to the head of the line on rides.
Paging Judd Hirsch.
Apparently, Ken Edwards ate 36 hissing Madagascar cockroaches in 1 minute.
Can I tell you that I'm really proud that we've never had anybody eat insects on this program?
Mm-hmm.
We draw the line at lukewarm SpaghettiOs.
Don and Mike did that when they had all of those crazy bugs in Washington, D.C., remember?
Oh, cicadas?
Yeah, cicadas?
Cicada?
Yeah, I think so.
Whatever. Can I just tell you, look, and I don't want anybody to think that we're all self-righteous and moralistic here. I mean, I guess we are about some things, because a lot of people are stupid. I guess that there's stuff about which we can be, you know, we can be lectury and ranty and whatever. But by the same token, it's like, it's just a show. And, at the end of the day, the bottom line is that we're just kind of retards and we kind of do our thing. But we've never had anybody eat live insects. That's what they can put. When I die someday.
We had Kyle eat peeps.
We had Kyle eat peeps. And again, it's like, we'll pander with the best of them. We'll do retarded radio nonsense with the best of them. But I draw the line. That, and here's the other thing I've never... Man, I was working in country radio when Garth Brooks was really just, you know, starting his big ascent. I was working part-time because I lost my talk gig, I think. He was doing that... Whatever that huge album was, Rope in the Wind or whatever, and it was that period of time when he was like the hottest thing in the world. It was like Michael Jackson during Thriller. He was the hottest thing on earth. And they did, you know, whatever radio station does when they can't think of anything else, they punt. They go, "What would you do for blank?" And it was, "What would you do for Garth Brooks tickets?" And I will never forget. You want to talk about, we never did this as a segment. Maybe we should. Things you wish you could unsee. Here's the thing I wish I could unsee. I wish I could unsee the following, which happened in the parking lot of the radio station. A guy laying on his back with his mouth open, a spoon in one hand, a big can of Alpo dog food in the other, scooping his mouth full of Alpo dog food and then letting his huge, like, St. Bernard eat the dog food out of his mouth.
Ew.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know why it's so disturbing. I've seen a lot worse in radio. I really have. But that's the one that I think it's because dogs drool. And I got a low tolerance for drool. It's like that scene in Tommy Boy where he's asleep in the car and he thinks there's like a breeze and it's the dog drooling on him or whatever. I don't deal well with drool. It's just a thing I don't cope with that very well. There's Tim Riley.
HBO has renewed its hit comedy Entourage.
Yeah.
The cable channel has given the go-ahead for a fourth season. The order includes 12 episodes.
Why can't they just do a whole season like everybody else? God.
Cable television.
Well, I understand. You know what it is? It's because they don't have to. It's because they're HBO. They're HBO sort of like Kink. They don't really have... They can play by their own rules. They can do what they want because they know, you know, because it's quality, and so people will just continue to watch anyway. But you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm going to take the lesson of Peter Carlin, and I'm not going to bitch about it. Because, you know, 12 episodes of Entourage is better than, like, 50 episodes of King of Queens. So it doesn't matter. I will not, from this day on, I will not complain about it.
Animal Watch.
Lord.
This comes to us from Toronto in Canada. Call it Hannibal Lecter in the early years. After a silence of 7 years, author Thomas Harris He's written a new book featuring fictional serial killer / cannibal Hannibal Lecter. Formerly played in films by Anthony Hopkins, the book Hannibal Rising will be in stores December 5th, just in time for Christmas.
They're printing 1.5 million copies just in time for that sales season. The 356-page novel, a last-minute addition to the list of new books for the holiday season, is a fourth book dealing with a cannibalistic doctor in chronicles his early years.
Really, what is left to be said about Hannibal Lecter at this point? I drew the line at Hannibal. I read Hannibal, and that was it. I'm done. I've washed my hands of it. That book was so terrible. Hannibal was such a bad film. It was a bad movie, and it was a bad book. And I'm done with it. You can tell that that's a guy who's just, he finally realized that he had one good idea. Because I think that Thomas Harris, who seems, by the way, like an absolute a-hole, for every interview I've ever read, just seems like a dick. I think that guy who's realized he's lucked into one great idea, and he's just now going to milk it. Which is too bad, because Red Dragon, which is his first book with Hannibal Lecter, was really good. And, of course, Silence of the Lambs, the novel, if you have not read the novel, the movie, of course, is a masterpiece, but the novel is a masterpiece as well. It's brilliant, flawless. And then Hannibal, did anybody here read Hannibal or see the movie?
No.
Boy, it was just terrible. It was so, and Jodie Foster chose correctly when she decided not to take part in that.
I saw that movie.
It was awful.
It was bad, and the pigs at the end, and the guy hanging from the thing.
And it was just like,
it was gruesome.
It lacked any sense of style, which is what Silence of the Lambs had. Silence of the Lambs, as much as a movie about cannibalism can have it, and a guy making a suit out of women can have style. It did. It was sort of, I don't know, sophisticated in a weird kind of, and Hannibal was just disgusting. And Anthony Hopkins somehow got into his head that Hannibal had to be played like a big drag queen. What the hell? It really was like one step away from, you know, like Bruce Valanche as Hannibal. I mean, it was really just all kinds of weird to watch. And then, I heard at one point, thank God that they've talked him out of this, but I heard at one point this book was actually going to be called Behind the Mask, which somebody must have talked him down from that literary ledge because it was a terrible, terrible idea. But he's only ever written one Hannibal Lecter book. He wrote a book called Black Sunday, I think. And that was it, man. And I think he actually co-wrote that one. So he's clearly, he's obviously one of those guys where he had the one good character, and he's just going to pound it until every ounce of money has been gotten out of it.
So there you go. When does that come out? Christmas, yeah, December 5th.
Don't buy it. All right, there you go. There's your Cannibal Watch for Thursday. Let's see, is it Dave? Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going today?
What's up, brother man?
Well, one comment on the Hugo Chavez comment. I think he got it completely wrong. George Bush in no way is intelligent enough to be the devil.
Yes, I heard somebody make some comments to that effect yesterday that George Bush, it's not really that George Bush is all that bright. He seems like imagine if you will. Remember that kid on the Flintstones? What was his name? Bam Bam? Was that the character? Was that Barney and Betty's kid?
Yes.
He was the absurdly strong 5-year-old. Mm-hmm. Imagine if he was really drunk and then also had car keys. That's kind of what George W. Bush is. Not all that bright, absurdly powerful, just a little bit evil and kind of crazy. That's it.
I have a question from yesterday. I got the F. Matt Dillon and
the F. Matt Dillon?
Yes, but I never knew what the Sarah X. Dillon was.
The F. Matt Dillon?
F. Matt Peterson.
F. Matt Peterson.
Yeah, F. Matt Dillon. Okay. That's a disturbing...
Freudian slip, sorry.
Yeah, yes.
what's the X in Sarah X. Dillon stand?
This is the thing. We meant to get to this yesterday, and we didn't. We meant to get to the Encyclopedia Emersonia, which is...
We didn't mean to get to it for months.
I penciled it in yesterday at a particular time, and then Jen Lane came on and started talking about drugs. And then we just spent the entire hour talking about Jen Lane's various drug use.
Subject close to my heart too. So
you understand my dilemma. We will do that without fail today. We will in the 2 o'clock hour. We will update the Encyclopedia Emersonia. But I'll give people a little preview of that right now by answering this question. So the Encyclopedia Emersonia is. It's a thing, and I know that's a dumb name, but we couldn't think of anything else to call it. And Wikipedia.com is taken. So. But it's an explanation of all the jokes or terms or inside references or things that people may not understand that we talk about or phrases that we use that they don't understand the meaning of or the origin of. Sarah X. Dillon.
Amazingly enough, we don't get many questions about that. And I think it's just because, I don't know, because it's just kind of...
It's a nerdy story. There isn't really anything...
Well, and it's not that bad. Like, people just, the cool thing about that is that people just sort of accept it. They just start something and go, eh, all right then. Which, when you think about it, is sort of weird, because what could it stand for? I mean, there's really just Xavier. That's it. There's nothing else.
Xylophone.
Or xylophone, yes.
I want to be Sarah's xylophone, Dylan.
Or Black Power. There's that somebody. Here's the true story, and you don't mind if I say this?
No, go for it.
Because we've told the story before, and it just made Sarah even hotter to all the guys. I don't know if you're familiar with a program that was on TV called Futurama.
But yes.
Futurama was a great, unfairly canceled program that was on the Fox Network, created by Matt Groening. You know, it's very, very much in the same vein as The Simpsons, but a sci-fi show, blah, 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 blah. It's on DVD. Anyway, the executive producer of Futurama is a guy named David X. Cohen. And David X. Cohen, by the way, that X stands for nothing, because he was a member of the Writers Guild or the Screen Actors Guild, and Tim can tell you more about this, but there's some rule where it's like you can't have the same name. Like, if there's somebody already with your name, you got to alter your name somehow.
Can't be Bob Hope.
Yeah, so it's like but you could be Robert Hope.
Right.
It's how you're billed on screen, and you can't, your name on the screen can't be the same as anybody else's. There was already a David Cohen, so he added an X just because he figured there would never be anybody else called David X. Cohen. And so Sarah's a big Futurama fan. Da 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 da. David X. Cohen. Bam. Sarah X. Dillon. So there you go. It is a Futurama reference, which is fantastic.
I can rest easy now.
And it's cool. Isn't that the best genesis of an initial
well,
you've ever heard?
Because I was such a fan of the show, and then one day I just came in and told you that. I'm like, I would love to have X for my middle name. You're like, I'm just going to start calling you that. And
no, it's the coolest thing. It's it really is. I mean, I wish I'd thought of it. So there you go. So Sarah X. Dillon, that is the X is a reference to Futurama, sir.
It's a Kevin Bacon moment. What can I say?
You're what?
I say it's a Kevin Bacon moment. What can I say? You connected all the dots.
Oh, okay. All right there. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, I just didn't understand what the hell you... All I heard was like, here's what I heard. I heard, it's a Canadian bacon moment. And I had no idea what you were talking about. All right. Thank you, guys. Okay, there you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This is Gary Bunker. Can we break it? Hey, Scotty, can you ask Gary if we can take him on the other side of the break here? If he can hang a couple minutes? Hit peacefully where you talk to him. Well, I guess we're breaking. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back. We got more from Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, later on. We'll talk about Dante's last night. We will do the Encyclopedia Emersonia. We've got this Weird Al single. I will without fail get to that. We've got a Futurama comment. People talk about the Hugo Chavez some more, etc. Speaking of Hugo Chavez, Gary Baumgartner around the corner. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.